Isaiah chapter 50 is our first reading this morning. Isaiah 50, beginning at 4. Hear now God's holy word. Suffering servant speaks. Isaiah 50, beginning at 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. And now, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 25, into chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. May God bless this reading and our hearing of his holy word. Good friends encourage one another. To encourage someone else is to put courage in them. Encouragement is really encouragement. Don't you need from time to time something exactly like that put in your gas tank? Maybe you're running on close to empty, barely existing on fumes. Life perhaps seems more difficult than it need be. Then along comes a friend, and that friend with a word of encouragement knows how to fill your tank with some high octane stuff, and you're good for another 1,000 miles. Righteous people, good friends, know how to encourage others. Now, when I speak of encouraging other people, I don't mean simply giving a compliment or saying something nice about them. Oh, that color looks beautiful on you. Well, maybe you'll say that, Or you have such a good sense of humor. You might say things like that. They might be appropriate. But this is not what biblical encouragement means. Biblical encouragement is what the righteous person in Proverbs does. You see, he or she is encouraged by God. Scripture says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And with that courage to overcome obstacles and fears, they give it out to others, particularly in words, which lift others up. Proverbs 12 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, or in the NASB, weighs it down. But a good word makes it glad. That good word in the Hebrew means a beautiful word, a true word, a sound word, a fitting word. The righteous live by such words, and they give such words out. Friends, we can go to church, hear a sermon, sing hymns, and leave without ever being the church. But to be the church, you give a word of an encouragement. You see, a word of encouragement gives God's perspective on any given situation. And God is a God of hope. There is no situation which is beyond the reach and the redemption of the Almighty. And so when the saints gather, yes, we receive words of encouragement, for example, from the preaching of Scripture. But having received, we give. And we are not content until we have given the word that lifts up the weary one. Isn't this what we just read in Isaiah chapter 50? In his human nature, Jesus had to learn how to speak this good word. In the prophecy of Isaiah, our Lord says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. You see, righteous people are righteous because of Jesus Christ. He alone is our righteousness. But righteous people, living by Jesus' power, learn how to fortify others with that good word. First thing I'd like to show us this morning is that encouragers lift us up to God's perspective. Encouragers lift us up to God's perspective. Now, I began speaking about friends, but did you know, and may I speak particularly to boys and girls, not all friends are good friends. Listen to what Scripture says. Not all possible friends are good for us. Scripture says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. We are known by the company we keep, and the company we keep can make us or unmake us. Find someone wiser than yourself and walk with that person. But if you walk with a fool, you will become foolish. You will be harmed in the process. You can't choose your family, but you sure can and must choose your friends. Scripture says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Who are the wicked? They encourage us to trust ourselves rather than God. Wouldn't it be better to be lonely than to be in the company of the wicked? Well, Moses was a good friend to Joshua. You recall that because of his unfaithfulness at a crucial moment, even Moses was not getting into the promised land. God still had work for him, as recorded in Deuteronomy 1. The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there, referring to the promised land. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moses still had work to do. What? To encourage Joshua. Now, the Canaanites were not going to be easy to overcome. The Israelites were no picnic themselves. This man, Joshua, would need the friendship of Moses, and particularly his encouragement. How would Moses give it? Well, he would give it by reminding Joshua of the promises of God. He would give it by his own example. He would give it by pointing beyond himself to friendship with the Almighty. Moses would encourage Joshua as a good friend. And friends, I dare say, by our words and by our actions, we are all encouraging or discouraging one another. Now, could Joshua say, but I don't feel encouraged? Study the scriptures and see the close connection between encouragement and exhortation. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 is translated various ways in our English Bible. Some will say encourage, some will say exhort. For example, the New King James reads, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Others will say, like the NIV, encourage. Remember, when you have gas put in your tank, it's for the car to move. You encourage not simply by making someone feel good about themselves, that borders on flattery. You are putting fuel in their tank that they can follow the righteous paths of God. So we can't simply say, but what you're saying doesn't encourage me. Where is the glad my heart's supposed to feel? Well, friend, it comes as that gas put in your tank is put to use. As you move, as you follow the paths of the Lord, that's where you get the encouragement. Encouragement sometimes feels like a kick in the pants, and sometimes it is. But afterwards, when you have followed that kick, you have the gladness of walking in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Do you see the difference between biblical encouragement and just giving a compliment or saying, I love your sense of humor? Sure, you can say that, but we're talking about lifting someone up to God's perspective. Do you lift people up to God's perspective? The Apostle Paul was a man of great faith, but he also, like we, had his doubts and fears. What could possibly encourage the Apostle Paul? Well, he tells us, as he writes in 2 Corinthians 7, believe it or not, he was encouraged by that congregation. How so? When they turn from their sin and exercise faith, obedient faith in their Lord. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4. He writes to them, I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. What was the source of his encouragement? Seeing God at work, their heartfelt repentance. That lifted him up, that buoyed his soul, that gave him courage to press on in the battles of faith. Friends, we can do the same. When we see God at work in someone else, we should say so. especially with our close friends, whose struggles we know. And when we see them, by the grace of God, persevere and press on, we should say, I see God at work in you. It's not the power of the flesh. It's the power of the Spirit. It can be done in the church building. We don't come here just to listen to lessons and sermons, do we? Don't we come to encourage the saints? Don't you want to encourage your preacher? Don't you want to encourage your preacher? I thought so. I just had to coax it out of you. And you do so outside of this building. I see God at work, and that lifts you up and gives you strength, because don't we all need more gas in the tank? I do. How about you? Ephesians 4 told us how, did it not? Paul gave us greater detail on speaking the good word of Proverbs 12. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit or give grace to those who listen. The word means rotten, like a rotten apple. I'm sorry you work with rotten people. I'm sorry for you. Do you want prayer to deal with them in a Christian way? But don't let rotten words out about the rotten people. Rather, speak words that build others up, that help them. So you have to hear, you have to think, and then you have to speak. You have to speak the good word to build others up. The story's told of a rather timid young man who was lost one cold and dark night in the woods. He was wandering around aimlessly, shivering, until he came across a log cabin deep in those woods. He rather sheepishly knocked at the door, and to his surprise, two elderly women came to the door. He was surprised to see them there, and lost and cold, seeing the women, he stuttered, aren't you afraid to be out here all by yourselves? And one of the sisters quickly summed up the situation. And she said to the youth, we were, but not any longer now that a man is here. And so, hearing this word, which was like steel into his soul, he straightened up, looked around, and said, well, I think I better go find us some firewood. Learn how to speak that good word. It may be a word directly from Scripture, but not even Jesus was constantly quoting the Bible. It may be or not be the word that person wanted to hear. After all, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But when you lift them up to God's perspective and you speak that good word, you are connecting them to the God of hope. Paul says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fellow believers, learn to speak that good word. Build them up. Build them up, even as Jesus did. So, secondly and lastly, let me just give us one example of how Jesus did this. Jesus encouraged his disciples by exalting God's grace. It's the night of his betrayal. John chapter 17. He's uttering and pouring out his soul, what we call the great high priestly prayer. His disciples hear him pray. Listen to John 17 and verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. They have kept your word. Would you say that about your friends who were soon to desert you? Would you say that about Peter, who would deny he ever knew you? Would you say they have kept your word? Now, Jesus says this not because he's a super positive person who only always looks on the bright side of things. But Jesus says this because of where he's going. He's going to Calvary, where he will shed his righteous blood to cleanse us from all our filthy stains. He is going to the place where God will win and the devil will lose. He is going to make certain that grace triumphs and not sin, that life has the final word and not death. He is going to the place of victory and encouragement where your greatest fears can be overcome, and especially your fear of not being acceptable before the Almighty. Jesus' blood and his righteousness is your acceptance. He's going there when he will conquer all the forces which oppose and discourage us. So friends, trust in this Jesus Christ. Receive him by faith. And as Paul says, having received Christ by faith, accept one another to the glory and the praise of God. Let us pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, it's a wonder of your grace that the church not only survives but thrives. We want to see you as you teach us who you are. We want to see one another as you teach us who we are. We are risen with Christ, and may we receive from you that word that builds up, that we might build others up with that same word. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.